Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, What If? Week 3, What If I Walked in Faith, Not Fear? Part 2. Let's listen in.
So we opened up week 1 in this series by saying, what if God is for us? What does that look like? And the scripture I used was, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And we talked about if God is in your corner. And the story I love to share, and it's one of my favorites because I want us to be in our heads, is a guy named Stacey King who played for the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan. And when Michael Jordan was in the playoffs, he had one of the best games he ever had, and he scored 69 points in one night, in one game. And Stacey King went to the free throw, and he made one basket. And so after the game, Stacey King was asked by the reporter saying, well, what are you going to tell your kids in the future about this game? You scored 1 point, and Michael Jordan scored 69 points. How does that look? And he says, I'm going to tell my grandkids that that was a night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. And it is, the truth about it is, so many times in our life, the Lord is with us, and we say, well, I did it. I conquered it. But honestly, we might only shoot a lot of times and score once, but the Lord scores 1,000 points for us. And I think that just the Lord is for us. And then last week, week 2 was a pretty heavy message, and we said, what if we didn't walk in fear of, you know what I'm saying, that fear? And so what I put on Facebook was, what have I allowed fear to steal from me? When you look back over your life, what has fear stolen from me? And we got everything from family relationships to friend relationships, joy, stories, peace. Some people said, I lost having fun because of fear. And I talked about the message about Jesus in the boat with the storm with his disciples. And when the storm came, the disciples woke him up and they said, Jesus, we're going to sink. And Jesus woke up from a nap and rebuked the storm. And then he rebuked the disciples. And what he said was, don't be afraid. Have no fear. And then he asked his disciples, where is your faith? And I said, isn't it interesting how either you're going to live in fear or you're going to live in faith? And I'm telling you straight up, it's hard to live in both, and you probably can't. You're either going to be a person who walks in fear or you're going to be a person who walks in faith. And I think so, even as Christians, so many times we say words, and so we have these fear. But I want to share this. I didn't share this last week, and I want to share this today. There is a fear of God in Scripture. It talks about fear the Lord and fear him. But when it talks about that in Greek, I want you to check this out. It actually means not like a trembling, I'm scared fear. What it means is, here's what it means. It means an awesome respect of reverence or to stand in awe of wonder. For instance, most of us are not scared of the sun, right? Like you're not gonna go outside today because like the sun's outside. But there's even though you don't think you're afraid of the sun, there is a reverence and an awesome wonder to it because you're not going to look straight into it. Is this right? You're going to put suntan lotion on so you don't get burnt because you're not afraid of it, you're still in awe of it. And so what we're talking about is there's this awe of wonder. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because there's some part of the Lord that we need to tremble, which I find amazing because when you look, my wife and I were just talking about this past week, when the storm came, the disciples were afraid of the storm. Check this out. And then when Jesus woke up with his thunderous woke up, like waking up from a nap, he calmed the storm and they shifted from being afraid of the storm or their problems to saying, holy cow, this guy just shut down the storms. It's like their fear shifted from here to here. This is what we need to do spiritually is we need to take our focus and our consuming mindset from the problems in the storm to how big the Lord is. And this is what faith does. It builds us up. And so if you think about this, what fear is basically what you worship. If you spend your time worrying and consumed by something, that means you're spending your all your energies focused on this one thing, and you can't focus on your Lord. You worship what consumes you. If it's stress and worry, you will consume you. So sometimes, listen, sometimes he calms the storm, but sometimes he calms the storm within us. And this is where faith comes in. So we got to let our faith be greater than our fear. So one of the challenges I said last week as parents, and I'm going to say this again today because I think this is the most important point, because my kids go into camp, kids camp, for the first time this year. It's awesome, but I'm a little nervous. And I'm like, listen, but even though, here's the question I got raised in me, and this is what I'm going to throw to all parents. Think about this. Our fear at times is holding back my kids from opportunities that God has for me. So the question I ask for you is your fear holding your kids back from the best that God has for them? Because what if I said, I don't want my kids to go, but I'm also praying, Lord, I want you to speak to my kids in any way possible, but I don't want that way. Does that make any sense? And I think in so many times we say we let our fears, and I'm saying it's okay for parents to be cautious, but at what point do we trust the Lord? As parents, are we teaching our kids, and here's a big question, and as people, to live in fear or to walk in faith? Because I'm telling you, as a leader and as a parent, more is caught than taught. If your language is the language of fear, your kids will pick up on it. You can say all day long, well, just trust the Lord, trust the Lord. And then if you're walking and talking in fear, and if you're nervous Nancy, there's no Nancy's, right? That's good. Well, you're teaching your kids what you're trying to live out as an example. And so that's that. So here's where we're going to jump into today. Today is this. What if we walked out of faith and not fear, part two? What if we didn't have our feelings control us? Anybody have feelings in here? Anybody? Nobody? You stone people. There's four most common fears that people have. Here's the four most common fears. Fears that we have. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of rejection, and fear of the unknown. Psychologists have learned that everybody is born with two fears. Psychologists said you're born with two fears. One is the fear of falling, and one is the fear of loud noises. What psychologists actually said is every other fear is learned. So I'm going to tell you this. What I'm trying to say is that's good news. Because if those fears are learned, that means they can be unlearned. And faith is unlearning those fears. It's interesting because a girl wanted to be a missionary, but she had one problem. She was very shy. So this girl said, I realized that my shyness was not actually my personality. My shyness was actually my fear. And then she confessed that excuse to the Lord, and today she became a missionary. The question today is, what excuse do we need to confess? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear and timidity, but a power, love, and self-discipline. So here is the quote I've been wrestling with all week. What you fear, you know what I'm saying? What you feel reveals where you trust God the least. What you fear reveals where you trust God the least. So you don't have to, listen, I don't want us as Christians, and I get this a lot, especially when I was a youth pastor, a lot of times your feelings are coinciding with how you feel, I mean, with your spiritual life, but you don't have to feel faith to have faith. Steve Furtick, I said this last week, his quote says this, God wants to set you free from your need to feel faith in order to have it. If I had a microphone, I was going to bump right now. Mic drop. Let me just say this again. God wants to set you free from your need to feel faith in order to have it. Your faith needs to be greater than your feelings. Let your faith lead your feelings instead of lists, instead of your feelings leading your faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, not through feelings, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. Faith is not a feeling. Listen, fear is a feeling. Faith is an action. Faith is a decision. Now, the difference between fear and faith is if you let fear dictate your decisions, you will be living defensively, reactively, and cautiously. If you let faith be, you will play deep offense with your life and you will step out. There's a difference between living in faith and living in fear. And I'll put it to you this way. Are the decisions, even the small decisions that you are making in your daily life, are they made because of what you fear or made because of the faith that God has given you? So if they're because of fear, that means the decisions you are making is reactive to your environment and the things that's going on because of your eyes. If it's because of faith, that means it's because of the trust that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference here. And so one of the things I'll say is this, it's the difference between holding out on God and going all out on the Lord. It's a difference between holding back and stepping out. For instance, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, I'm not gonna read the whole thing, but listen to this. Hebrews 11 says this, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through faith, the people in days of God, of old earn a good reputation. And then it starts going through the people in Scripture who stepped out in faith. Listen to this. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed on God's command. By faith, that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. By faith, that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. By faith, that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. By faith, it says that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home to go to another land. By faith, that even Sarah was able to have a child. By faith, it says that Abraham offered to sacrifice Isaac, and as a sacrifice, God was testing him. By faith, Moses led out the Israelites. By faith, that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea. By faith, the Israelite army marched around Jericho and the walls fell down. By faith, Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed and became a person in the new family. By faith, they overthrew kingdoms, ruled the injustice, and they received God and they promised. And by faith, they all stepped out. Because listen, if you want to get a word from God, you got to get in the word of God. It's interesting, as you read Scripture, these stories are about people of faith. It says, by faith, they stepped out. They're promises. These are promises. This is why, when before we started Watermark Church, by the way, I am sweating up here. Holy cow, I feel like a Southern gospel preacher. This place is hot. Where's the hankies? Just shake the hankies around a little bit. Wow. I would take off this, but I have like cut off sleeves and a muscle shirt on. And you guys would be distracted by my muscles, so we're gonna ignore that. Is that not true or what? But think about this. By faith, people step out. When my wife and I, when God called us to come to Stillwater, I said this before, I won't forget our first year. We packed up the U-Haul, we drove here, we lived with family, and I remember I told this during, before pre-service prayer this morning, it was almost the first year. And here's my daily routine for the first 6 months. We didn't own a truck. We had a trailer. So I would have to, listen to this. I would have to go to the U-Haul company close to our house, rent a pickup, bring it back. This is what I would do on Saturday, bring it back. Then I would wake up early morning, Sunday mornings, get the U-Haul pickup, drive to our storage locker in Stillwater, hook up our church out of the storage unit, then drive it to the church, and then we had volunteers unload our church and then do this, and then right away after church, I would have to hook up the trailer, bring it back in time before the U-Haul place would close. And that was every Saturday and Sunday for the first 6 months to a year, and we were doing this. So that means every Saturday night we would go to bed, and I would anyway. Trust me, there was enjoyment in the first year. It was awesome. But here's what happened. Our first Sunday, we had our launch Sunday. So we invited everybody. We were from Brainerd. My wife was from the cities. We had 250 people our launch, our very first Sunday. And I'm like, we're going to kill this. 250 people. And then I realized, it was everybody from out of town. Next Sunday, we had like 32 people in the house. And I'm like, man. You just see the balloon go. And then I'm like, all right, so every Saturday night, I remember we had like three, we call them our originals. We had like four families that came from week one. They were coming, and they're still here, which is pretty awesome. They're originals. And I would always remember, and one of them would call me up and say, Matt, can't make it. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to have like a whole less people there tomorrow. And I remember every Saturday night just thinking, I just don't feel like it. Are people going to show up tomorrow? And here's the funny part. We would set the whole nursery. I'm telling you, you nursery and kids workers who are here, you guys are heroes of mine, setting up every week and loving those kids. The first year, I mean, it wouldn't be surprised if we would set up the whole nursery and kids area just for my kids. And Stacy would preach her guts out just to my two kids. And I'm like, some Sunday mornings, we just had our volunteers in here. And I'm like, guys, invite your friends to Stillwater. Not one nobody knows from running from Stillwater. And I'm like, and we would do this. And here's what, this is the thought I would have every Saturday night. Lord, I would sit there and like, not stress, but you just have a fear. And then it would hit me. We're going to go. We're going to do it anyway. And whoever shows up needs to be there. I'm telling you, it would shake off and say, it's not about how I feel. It's about just doing what God has called us to do. It's interesting because I think what's interesting about this is so many times we just kind of say, you know what I'm saying, it's not that. And I think how many decisions do we make? Well, I'm not going to go to church today. I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to work today. I just don't feel it. Like how many times the world just wants us to do this way? So I'm just going to spend 5 minutes here and talk about how to release the faith. There's two thoughts I have. Number one is to release faith in your life, you need to speak out your faith. And I'm not going to speak it out saying you got to say everything and you're going to get it. What I'm saying is, this is why scripture is so important, because what we say is contagious. When we first started the church, one of the things I told our volunteers every Sunday morning was don't talk tired. Don't talk tired. Because, listen, everybody's here at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. You're all tired anyway. Everybody's tired. You're not trying to say, so when people come saying, oh, I'm just tired. What happens is that's contagious. And where's that conversation going? Nowhere. It's not helping anybody. So I just say, this is not part of our vocabulary, so don't talk tired. But we, in our culture, say things like, people say like, you know, go with your feelings or if it feels right. And then some people say negative things like, that's just my luck. Bad things always happen to me. That figures. And we play this victim mentality. So my wife and I have a couple of friends who are therapists, and I messaged Jim and I said, I'm speaking about feelings and faith this week. Can you give me a few things? And a girl, Eliza, sent me this. She said, each emotion has a natural action and opposite action. Natural actions fuel the emotion and opposite action decreases the emotion. For example, if I feel depressed, my natural action is to disengage and become inactive. These actions fuel my feelings of depression. If, however, I choose to take opposite action, regardless of how I feel, I will engage with others and be more active. These actions will decrease my feelings of depression as I choose an action that didn't feel natural, but help me overcome the unpleasant emotion I had. The natural reaction for fear is to avoid. Avoidance, this is what she says, avoidance fuels fear. The opposite, this is why many people in here need to have the hard conversations with somebody, and you avoid having it, and all that creates is more fear. So the opposite action is to face our fears gradually if needed. Facing our fears decreases our feeling of fear. For example, if I was afraid of heights, I would naturally want to avoid going up, which would help perpetuate my fear of heights. If I choose to take the opposite action, even though I don't feel like it, I would gradually go up higher and higher, gradually increasing my comfort zones more and more, and eventually overcoming my fear of heights. The basic idea is this: we often have to act contrary to our feelings in order to overcome our feelings of fear. It doesn't mean that feelings aren't valid. Your feelings are valid. It just means that sometimes our feelings lead us astray and we have to act opposite in order of what we feel. Our other friend, Velissa, said, anxiety is a primitive emotion that literally kept us alive for years. It originated from our limbic system, which stops developing at the age of 3, hence childlike fears and behavior. When people experience trauma, like everybody does, the limbic system gets disconnected from our frontal cortex, rational and the smart brain. People need to help reconnect in this. This can be writing our reality versus writing a fear list. Using scripture, we can use scripture as reality to challenge this fear. This prayer and mindfulness, anything to reconnect the brain systems that lose their contact. And this is what she says. I often ask clients to sit down and quiet and write out what they're truly fearing. When we spend time challenging their fears with reality, for example, I'm going to lose my job, she says, what are the facts that challenge that? You've been at your job for 25 years. God has always provided. Scripture supports that he is going to be there for you, so why are you afraid? So the question she raises, what's true? Philippians says this: fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What are true? Truth or feelings? And I said it one time last year, I said, truth or trash? And if it's something that's not of the Lord, it's trash. It's not a feeling that you need to take within you. Are we living in fear, or are we living in faith with our speech? Feelings are not always truth. Feelings are fluid. They just move around. For instance, you might go to bed the night before and you're thinking roses and you're hearing birds sing, and all of a sudden you wake up the next morning and you can barely get out of bed and you're crabby at the world and you just wonder what kind of dream you just had. Is that just me or is anybody else like that? Because feelings are fluid. They're not truth all the times. There's something fluid. So feelings just move. So here's the truth. Can I just tell you something? This is what I go by. I believe scripture for me is the truth. This is what God says. You might say, I feel ashamed by my mistakes. Romans 8:1 says, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might say, well, I feel like a victim. I feel destroyed. I feel beat up. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. I don't feel like God is near. Ephesians 3:17 says, Christ makes his home in your hearts through faith. I feel old. I feel broken. I feel used. I feel like I'm a hand-me-down. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The past is gone and the new is here. I feel weak. I can't take a next step. I don't know where I'm going. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I feel lonely. I feel isolated. I feel undesirable. I feel not a part of anything. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says, God loves you and he has chosen you to be part of his own people. I feel overwhelmed. I feel stressed. I feel like I'm drowning. 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I feel like I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to be, God's not going to be able to provide. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and his glory. Prayer and faith go together. It's can't have prayer without faith, and you can't have faith without prayer. Number two is this: do faith. Step out. Faith steps out. If you say out loud the scripture verse, say out loud what God has told you. When you stand, going back to number one, when you stand and face the fear, Don't stand up, don't look at the fear and say, look how big this fear is. Look at the promises and look at who is in the boat with you, because Jesus has always been there. And number two was this, do faith, step out. It's interesting because, and I shared this story just about 4 months ago, and I showed, and the story I'm going to talk about is when Peter stepped out of the boat, and Jesus told his disciples to go to the other side, and the disciples went in the boat, and Jesus stayed back and prayed, and I love how Jesus says this. He says, you guys go ahead, I'll meet you on the other side. There wasn't another boat. You guys realize that? Like, he's telling, it's like, they're probably saying, oh, Jesus, we'll wait for you. No big deal. And he says, no, go. I'll meet you over there. So as they're in the boat, the disciples by themselves, another storm approaches. I mean, this is a bad sea, right? There's always storms. They're in the boat, a storm approaches, and they look and they see, all of a sudden, somebody says, and they said, there's somebody walking on the water. There must be a ghost. And then somebody opens up their eyes and says, that's not a ghost, that's Jesus. He's walking on water. Now, check this out. So all of a sudden, as this is going on, Peter says, can I come walk on the water with you? And all the other disciples are going, I don't know who this guy is. This is crazy. But Peter gets the faith. He gets it. He's not living in fear. He's literally, you can tell, people who live in fear stay in the boat. People who walk in faith say, can I come where you're at? So all of a sudden, Peter focuses on Jesus, steps out of the boat, and begins to walk on water. He's focused on Jesus, and he takes steps walking towards Jesus. And he's walking on water towards Jesus and the other people on our boat. And one thing I want to say about this, whenever you walk towards Jesus, you leave something behind. Some of you need to leave some stuff behind you. And so he left his friends behind. He walks on water. He starts walking towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, the whole time, every step he's taking is a faith step. He's focused on Jesus. It's another faith step, another faith step. He's focused on Jesus. He's taking faith steps. And it says in Scripture, as soon as he looked away at the storm, got his eyes off Jesus, I want to tell you what happened first. This is very basic, but very valid. It says that he felt the waves and looked at the storm. He noticed his problems and he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. It doesn't say that he began to sink and looked away. It says that he looked away from Jesus first and then began to sink, because that's how it happens. When I tell people, why are you going down there? How did you get to this situation? Why are you in prison? What happened? Well, I don't know what happened. And I'm like, usually you took your hand, you got unfocused somewhere and something happened, you took your eyes off the prize, you got off track somewhere. And so all of a sudden they take his eyes, put his focus on the storm, he begins to sink. And I think this is what's amazing about it, but every step he was taking, and then Jesus, and I'll talk about this in a second, Jesus reached out to pick him up. But to go back, when he asked Jesus if he can come under the water, this is the best sermon I've ever heard, and it's one word long. This is Jesus' response. Come. So Peter literally says, can I come out there? And Jesus says, come. Now, you notice he didn't say, come, Peter. He was saying, come to all the people in the boat. He said, just come. There's more than enough places to walk out here. There's room, but only Peter is the one that stepped out, and he stepped out, and he says he stepped out on this. It's interesting. I'm not going to show the video right now, but there's a movie called We Bought a Zoo, and in that video, Matt Damon, they're trying to put a zoo together, this one family, and in that 1 minute, he starts telling his son, he goes, you have got to be courageous in spite of fear, because fear may never leave you. You still got to step out even if you don't feel like it. And he says, all you need is 20 seconds of courage to do anything. 20 seconds of courage to step out. 20 seconds of courage to step out. And this is what happened to Peter. He said, 20 seconds. I just need to step out. So if you want to wait for your fears to leave, you'd be waiting for a long time. Faith is taking a step before God even reveals the second step. Catch that. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't know the second step. It invites. It's like you taking these Easter handouts and going to your neighbors and you taking the step and you don't know if they're going to come next week. It's you putting out, you don't know if they're going to come, but it's you taking that step. God is inviting us to get our feet wet. Dan and Brandon, you can come up here. I was reading a book this week by one of my favorite authors, and here's what he said. He said, I think we live in fear. And as a parent, you know what the most common prayer that we pray over our kids is? Most common. Even I do this. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, keep them safe. Keep them away from any dangers. I was reading this book this week. You know what he said? What if God didn't come to keep us safe? What if God came to make us dangerous? What if God came to make us dangerous? What if our prayer for our kids was no longer, God, keep them safe, protect them from this, protect them from this, protect them? Can I just tell you, you know what makes you you is all the tough things you've been through. I'm not saying don't pray for safety. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, what if we spend more time praying for our kids and saying, God, whatever you have for them, whatever you called them to do, God, make them dangerous spiritually. Make them fall in love with you passionately, that they're willing to do anything they can do for you. God, help them to be everything that you created them to be. Listen, fear is running away from the cross, and faith is running towards the cross. Fear is running and hiding, and just like Peter, he stepped out of the boat. Every step he took was faith. So here's a question I have for you this morning. Look at your life right now. Is all the decisions you're making based upon your fears or your faith? If God is calling you right now to say, come, come, would you be a person who sits in a boat and say, I'm not going out in that storm? Or would you be a person that says, it's time to get my feet wet? Listen, this is a tough decision, because what's interesting about this is Peter still sunk. And not because, listen, go to the next slide, because I showed this a few months ago. If you can go to that next one, this is my favorite picture. I feel like it's interesting, because when we see this picture of Jesus, when Peter started to sink, growing up, I always thought like Peter was like half in the water and Jesus reached down. But I saw this picture one day and I said, that's it. It's like drowning and being overwhelmed by the sea and the problems, and your Jesus is so close and you got distracted. You look at the problems and you begin to sink and you're just suffocating, and all of a sudden you look up and you see this hand pull you back up to the surface. And it says when Peter saw Jesus face to face that they embraced and they hugged on top of water. That's crazy. His love for you is not based on how you feel. His love for you is not based upon your emotions. It's not based upon, you know what? Thank God his love for you is not based upon your love for him. Amen? Thank God that his faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness. His faithfulness is not based on his love, is not based upon us. He loves you even when you don't feel it. He loves you even when you don't feel like it. 1 John 14 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Our natural tendency is to pull back when God wants us to step out. Fear wants us to hide when God wants us to be honest. And fear wants us to stay in a boat when he wants us to walk on water. Fear wants us to run. I ended with this quote. I'm going to end it this week. Jesus never quits on you. Because here's the promise. just because Peter took his eyes off Jesus, Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. He knew where Peter was at, and he reached down and he pulled him back up. Everybody stand up this morning. Listen, this is where we're going to get, they were practicing the song of worship today, and I was like, this is perfect, perfect. We're going to get into this, and I'm just saying, listen, where are you living in fear and your feelings where you need to be living in faith?
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the series, What If?